Good morning, everyone. Do you feel like you've settled into a rhythm now after the holidays? Or are we still getting there? Still getting there. Well, I am glad that you are here and that we have a message today called Finding a Way Out. Finding a Way Out. And we will be in Luke 4, and that is page number 853. Well, about this time last year, I was in some kind of a fast. Now, maybe I shouldn't call it a fast because it was only from one item, my favorite beverage. And why was I doing this? Well, because I felt like God was pressing it on my heart. And so after about the fourth day of going without my favorite beverage, I had a day with a few surprises and kind of ups and downs, and by the end of the day, I could taste that beverage, even though I hadn't had it. And I was like, God, if I go to my favorite coffee house and I get there and there's not a line, can I please have a coffee? Okay, so you know, I get in my car, I drive there, and I get to the Starbucks I'm going to, and yes, about 15 minutes later, after I had circled the block three times, there were only two cars in the line. Only two cars. So I get in line, and I get up to the drive-thru window, and I place my order. Can I please have a blonde coffee? Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, we don't brew blonde coffee in the afternoon. I said, no problem. I will come in and place my order. So I park my car. I walk in, wait in line again, get up to the counter. May I please have a blonde pour over? For those of you who don't know what that is a special cup of coffee made just for you, steaming hot. So the guy goes over to the other counter, he's kind of looking around. He comes back, and he says, we are out of coffee filters. I've never felt so close to God. Yes, I did not break my fast that day. Well, maybe for you it's not a food or a drink. Maybe it's online shopping. Maybe for you guys it's, I don't know, lawnmowers, exercise equipment. I don't know, you'll have to tell me. But for women, every now and then, we kind of like to see what the latest clothes collection is. What, you know, it's at our favorite store. What's out in the winter collection or the spring collection? And so maybe you are trying to save money, especially after Christmas, but you think, oh, you know, you're sitting on the couch, you're so relaxed, you're scrolling on your phone, that site just pops up, you go to it, it's not going to hurt to look. I just want to see what's in style. And so you get there, you're looking, oh, wow, there's two sweaters in my favorite color. Here's a pair of boots, and guess what, God, they're 25% off. Woo, you want me to have this. Glory, hallelujah. And you click on it. Purchase. The choice is made. It doesn't matter that your card is almost maxed out and you're on a monthly payment plan. How easy is that? Have you been tempted since the new year began? Raise your hand. Have you been tempted since the new year began? Oh, good, because, you know, my next question was going to be, have you been tempted this past year? And if nobody raised their hand, I was going to say, okay, now I know who I'm talking to. All right. Well, the thought process of temptation begins with the thought, imagination. Okay. Thank you. Justification and choice. And all these mesh together in such a way that we do not even think about it. So let's go through this purchase that we just made. So I'm thinking, I'm relaxing. Actually, I'm not thinking. I'm chilling on my couch, and I'm just scrolling on my phone. The site pops up. I get the thought, must shop, must shop. Okay? And then that thinking keeps going, and I automatically have my Instagram post. I picture myself in this sweater and the boots with the snowbank behind me. Looking good. Instagram post. Right? And then I'm going to justify it because it's cold outside. Did you notice that this morning? It's cold. And all my sweaters, most of them, have those little lint fuzzy things on them. I need new sweaters because my sweaters are old. And so that's my justification. And then the choice is made. We are masterminds of rationalization and justification. Well, now, if you think you are doing well in this area and you're nudging the person beside you, I hope you're listening to this, or you have a friend that you want to share this message with, finding a way out of temptation, I have a word for you. 1 Corinthians 10:12. And if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different than from what others experience. And our God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will find you a way out so you can endure. He will not tempt you. Well, this is another thing. God never tempts, so we can't blame Him, but He will not allow temptation to be more than we can bear. Finding a way out. I hope you're already there to the scripture. Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. If you've been tempted to cope with life, with a drink, with food, with online shopping, with whatever that thing that keeps you going throughout the day, I hope that you listen to this message through that lens of your temptation. Whatever that is, let's get that in our minds. Because today we are going to equip ourselves and get ready so we can tell the devil, not today. Let's pray. Holy God, we come before your holy throne. God, I was just reminded that I serve a holy God. And my challenge is to come to you in gratitude, to come to you with a humble heart, God, because I'm your kid. I'm just this little person. We're all your kids, God. We want to recognize that you are a good, good father to us. God, it's hard. It's hard living day to day, following Jesus and doing it well. God, please come and equip us through the power of your word. Let our hearts and minds be surrendered to you. And God's people said, amen. All right, Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He ate nothing that entire time and became very hungry. Can you imagine? Not only are you fasting for what is humanly impossible, practically, but your arch enemy is there with you for 40 days. Verse 3, then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus says, no. The scriptures say people don't live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. In a moment. Yeah, Satan has some power. I will give you the glory, Jesus, of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give anyone I please. I'll give them all to you if you just worship me. Jesus said, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Reference to Deuteronomy 6:13. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, just jump off. Just jump off, because you know that the angels will bear you up. You will not even have your foot touch a stone. Jesus says, do not test the Lord your God. Another reference to Deuteronomy. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until what? The next opportunity. A more opportune time. The devil doesn't quit. We don't quit because we're God's people. We're God's people. His kids. His kids don't quit. Well, I want us to know and understand, because I was kind of confused on this. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted in all ways, Hebrews 4:15. And he overcame sin. He crushed it. He crushed it. So what is temptation exactly? It promises satisfaction at the cost of obeying God. Hey, this thing is going to satisfy me more than obeying God. Hey, I can watch this movie because I need a rest. And it is going to promise me a thrill, entertainment. Now, maybe the movie's okay. It's fine to watch movies, right? But is it giving me more satisfaction than being with my God, with my Jesus? Yeah, God's working on me too. Did you notice in this passage that the devil is offering shortcuts? See, God has a plan. He has a plan. Jesus is going to eat. He's going to eat dinner. But it's not time yet. And so the devil says, come on, Jesus. Turn this stone into sourdough. You know you're hungry. He doesn't tempt him with gossiping about Peter. No, he hits him where it hurts. He's hungry. It's been 40 days since he's eaten. Jesus, you can take this shortcut. You don't have to wait. Then he offers him another one. See, all these earthly kingdoms, Jesus, they can be yours in a moment. Well, Jesus is going to have all the earthly kingdoms back under his feet. But right now, the prince of the power of the air is still ruling some of these kingdoms. But when Jesus returns, he will have them. He will have them. Well, I think it's interesting, again, that Jesus answers not only with scripture, but with two passages from the Torah, from Deuteronomy 6, which Moses wrote. And so in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, we have Moses saying, listen, Israel, the Lord is God. The Lord alone is our God. Can we say that? The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Commit yourself to him and to his word. And I want you to repeat my word to your kids, to your children, over and over again. Verse 7. Talk about my word when you're at home. When you're on the road, before you eat, when you go to bed, talk about my word. Post it on the doorpost of your home and on the gates to your house. What's God telling us? The word of God. How he longs for that word to be locked in our hearts. Not locked so we can't share it, but locked so it's there. It's in safe keeping because we've invested in it. We've given it time. We've given it energy. Good word in 2 Corinthians 3:3 from the Apostle Paul. This word is now written on our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just on a page in our Bible or on our phone. The Holy Spirit has written it on your heart. Have you found that? When you're having a bad day, God just brings it to your mind. Commit this to me and I will do it. Psalm 37. Yeah. I will give you nothing. Nothing. No temptation that you cannot endure without me, God, providing a way out. think as we look at this passage, we see that Jesus, after fasting for 40 days, he was not as strong as he was ready. Jesus was not as strong as he was ready. He comes into the wilderness after his baptism. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is ready. He has the word in him. And note that he doesn't run from the devil. He doesn't run. He doesn't flee from him. He stays. He fights. He resists. James 4:7, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The devil will flee. I want to humble myself. I want to resist. What does that word mean? That means almost confront. I'm going to dig in my heels, and I'm going to uphold the word, because the word is all powerful. I don't want to give up on God. Just had this idea. Oh, yeah, these are just words on a page. This is a poem. Oh, doesn't it sound nice? And yes, we sing it in church on Sundays sometimes. Oh, God is trying to teach me the word is my life, because the word is Jesus. The word is Jesus. Take a stand by speaking the truth of God to the enemy, and you will crush him, and he will flee. He will flee because he can't take it. He can't take truth. That's why he twists truth. And that's why he's a master deceiver. What temptation could the devil offer you and me that would make us cave in? What temptation would that be? Let's get that in our heads. Let me ask it this way. What temptation seems more satisfying than being in God's word? Maybe watching YouTube, TikTok? Is that more exciting? What temptation pumps more adrenaline into your system than praising God in worship? What is that for you? Or maybe it's winning an argument. What brings you more satisfaction? Can you listen to others first? Or do you have to prove your point? Does it have to keep going? I have to have a comeback for that, because I have to have the last word. Can you seek to understand others first instead of having to be understood? That pumps up some energy, right? But where does that stand with my energy for reading God's word? Be ready. Be ready to resist. Come back to the enemy with the word of God. But to do that, I have to know the word of God. You see, the devil, too, knows our weaknesses. He knew Jesus was weak. He knew he was hungry. So he tempts him with the very thing that he is desiring. He roars like a lion, prowling around, looking for someone to trip up, looking for a Christian to tip up. Hey, if you've been baptized, if you're leading a ministry, if you're doing acts of kindness in your neighborhood, if you're asking people to church, prepare for a hit, because it's coming. It's not if it's coming, it's when it's coming. And hey, I don't know if we have any young adults here, but those of you or older men who have played football, what'd you do when you're playing football? Did you just go your merry way and help clean house and eat and watch TV? No. You're out pumping weights. You're running lines. You're practicing the hits so you don't get hurt. Hey, if you went out there and didn't work out, what would happen? You're out. You're taken out because you got no strength. You have no muscle. No muscle. We, me, you are not as strong as we think we are. We're not that strong. We can be at work all day solving problems, accomplishing projects, encouraging people, walk in the door. Hi, everyone. Hey, I need you to take out the trash. Hey, can you load up the dishwasher? What? Are you kidding me? I just got home. We can snap, right? We can snap back. Some sarcasm, unkind remark. What just happened? Got a little too comfortable in my own home. We make that switch. I'm in my comfort zone. I can let down my guard. I don't have to be encouraging. I don't have to get things done. I'm at home. Yeah, I need to make that switch sometimes. Or not make that switch. Keep the spirit in me. What about dieting? You can do awesome on your diet, on your protein diet for a week. Then you have a challenging day. You come home and you binge on cookies and cream. Ice cream. It's so easy. The ice cream practically calls to you. I need ice cream. Hey, I went through this in college. You know, in college you need to replenish those brain cells, right? Yeah, well, I found out that Brahms ice cream store was, you know, half a mile away. It was right down the street. My roommate and I would go, not for ice cream cones, but for sundaes with fudge sauce and caramel sauce. Well, that was so good. But then my friends and I, literary circle, found a grill in Oklahoma City, and they made homemade cobbler. Blackberry, apple, peach, homemade crust with vanilla ice cream. Oh, my goodness, it was so good. And coffee. Okay, well, then it was all over. I had to call my mom and say, guess what, Mom? I'm eating fruit. I'm eating fruit. I had never eaten fruit. I grew up on a wheat farm. You don't eat fruit. You don't eat fruit out of a can. But this was fabulous. So what you feed grows. I grew 20 pounds that year. Yeah, 20 pounds. The devil's going to come after us when we're vulnerable, when we're tired, when we're hungry, when things aren't good at home, going through a tough season at work, when I'm depressed, when you're lonely, when you're bored, when you're angry. That's when temptation comes, and it begins with a thought. And we have 5 seconds or less to take it out, because then it will take hold. It will go straight to imagination, then to justification, then to choice. Well, maybe you know someone who has the spiritual gift of critical analysis or offering feedback with a little twist. Maybe that person is you. Maybe that person is me. And so how does that mind work if we find ourselves in that critical place? Well, we might be thinking of a situation that happened. Well, that wasn't fair. That person wasn't very nice to me. And then it goes to imagination. Well, this person needs a dose of their own medicine. That will fix it, right? Justification. They don't really deserve kindness. They need accountability. And then you make the choice how easy it is to go on and gossip about that person who talked about you. Crush the temptation when that thought first comes in our head. Oh, that person was rude. That person was unkind. Hold them up in the peace of God. I know some of you, you do a great job of praying for people when you have difficult relationships. But what if we can just hold that person up in peace? I'm just suggesting this because this works for me. I hold that person up in peace, pray God's will over them, and then let it go. And then let it go. But then, what happens when it comes back? I have less than 5 seconds to disarm it. Less than 5 seconds. And the Lord's prayer comes to me, oh God, please help me to forgive, because I know I need your forgiveness. I need grace in my life. And so I am going to choose to forgive. If it comes back again, Philippians 4, 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Crush it, the thought, with the power of God's word. Crush temptation with the power of the Spirit. Get tough. The devil expects us to wimp out, people. He expects us to give up, to lay down, Oh, this is too difficult. I can't do it. Yes, I know it's difficult, but we can do it because we have God's Spirit, His supernatural power in us. And I have to ask, and I've been this person too, but I hear these comments. Well, Serena, I tried reading my Bible, my YouVersion plan, but I just couldn't connect. I just couldn't get into it. I didn't understand what the author was saying, and the scripture just seemed a little boring. Well, did you use the same mental energy that you use when you're playing video games with your friends? Did you have the same energy that you use when you play games for however many hours? Or maybe it's prayer. I tried praying, and I can actually pray for a couple of minutes in my car as I drive to work. And so we can say, well, can you pray for 4 more minutes? Just 4 more minutes. And then give it the same energy that you give exercise when you're working out at the gym. Give it that muscle. Get into prayer. Hey, this is my challenge because I realize that I pray often, but you know what? I'm not praying with as many prayers of holiness to God and recognizing His holiness and standing in awe. And I'm not praying battle prayers. I used to pray more battle prayers. I'm wimping out on God. I need to get strong. I need to get faithful in knowing that His word is all powerful. It's not about me. It's about Him and me opening my heart so He can pour His power in me. Don't you know that's what He longs to do? Because He loves you. You are marked with His Spirit. He loves you. I want us to know that we are not obligated to serve the desires of the flesh. We are not obligated. There's nothing that says you have to satisfy the desire of the flesh. Now, of course, we need water. We need food. That's not what I'm talking about. We need exercise. We need each other, right? Romans 7, 12 through 14. You have no obligation to do what your flesh desires. If you live by what the flesh dictates, you will die. Wow, that sounds pretty dramatic. So if I'm scrolling on my phone, and I see a post, somebody's at the beach, you can click on that post, enlarge it, what they're wearing. And then what happens? Then what happens? Sin thrills, but then it kills. Fascinates, but then it assassinates. Yeah, it does kill. We want to take it out. We want to tackle it. If your phone is easy access to sin, to temptation, then get a dumb phone. Get a flip phone, right? Put a filter on your phone. If it's your laptop, make sure you share your history with someone, a mentor, someone in your family, your spouse. If that's a temptation for you, eliminate the temptation by having accountability. Crush it. If you're tempted to get through the day by having too much to drink or smoking something or eating something, don't hang out with people who do. Get into a life group. Find some new friends, people who are walking in the same direction that you are. People that you can have fun with, that you can play games with, and whom you can read the Word of God with. If we don't prepare, we are going to be broadsided by temptation. Because we all have blind spots, right? We do. Crush temptation with the power of the Spirit. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. As long as it takes, fight, fight, crush, crush those thoughts, those temptations. For some, you need to name that thing. You need to name it. You're only as strong as you are honest. We have no strength over what we're not willing to admit. So I want you to write it down in the bulletin. If you don't want anyone to see it, put it in code. Put it down somehow. Make a commitment to be honest. Yes, I have this temptation. It's real. And I want to be a vessel full of the Holy Spirit so I can crush it. If we can't admit it, we can't crush it. Maybe it's pride. You need to be right. You need to be in control. Maybe you've borrowed money. That's so easy to do. You're tempted not to pay it back. Maybe you're overcome with a desire to talk about other people to make yourself look bigger and other people look smaller. Maybe it's being on sites you have no business being on. You can look. No one will know. No one will get hurt. That's a lie. Crush it. Let the power of God's Spirit in you. Invest in the Word. Get it in you. With the same energy that you eat chocolate cake. For my husband, chocolate pie is chocolate pie. Yeah. Or with the same energy that you dance at home. The same energy that you use when you work out at the gym. So I have a friend who gets something in the mail every month. It's a little trinket that she puts on her keychain. And it's an acronym for each word in a verse. That acronym is on this trinket that she puts on her keychain. That's Susan. Susan is investing in the Word. Whenever she picks up her keys, she goes over that verse in her head. She's investing. She's arming herself with the Word of God. I have a prayer board at home that I did in a life group. And on one side, it has those mighty verses. I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can commit everything to Him and not worry. And He will do it. He will help me. And then on the other side, I have prayer requests. And when God answers a prayer request, then I move it over. And I'm telling you, when you do that for a couple of years, you remember God's faithfulness, that He healed you, that He gave you strength when that person said an unkind word. The Spirit of God flooded over you, and you responded in prayer. Hallelujah! That's not easy to do, right? Isn't it great when you don't even have to think of it, but those are the words that come out of your mouth? That's not typical. That is not typical. Get behind me, Satan. Not today, devil. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world and of the world. When Jesus went into the wilderness, He was full of the Spirit. The Spirit gives you life. And the strength and power to crush temptation, to find a way out. God has given you a way out. A way out of temptation. Romans 8 and 10. Christ lives within you. That even though your physical body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you light and life. The Spirit gives you life. God raised Jesus from the dead. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you through the power of His Spirit. Getting ready to close. So I have this story that God reminded me of my dad. Now my dad was a great skater. He could skate forwards, backwards, and circles. He could dance on skates. He was so good. I was so-so. I wasn't awful, but I wasn't great. And I admired his skating ability. And about every few months, our church group would go to a town and go skating. We'd take the church kids, the kids from the community, would load up the car. Other people would come. And during that time, there would be a doubles, skating with someone else. And he would grab my hand, and out we would go. And, oh, my goodness, that was incredible. Because, all those kids who dart in and out, they're trying to wipe you out, or just the ones that are so clumsy they can't stay on their feet. And so you're having to dodge in and out. And I would have his hand. And I still had to be careful when I crossed over to turn the corners, that I had the rhythm right. But if I started to falter just a little bit, he had me. we never, ever fell. It was so great to skate with him super fast around that skating rink. It felt like I was flying. That's a little bit how it is when we're walking with the Spirit of the living God. Yes, we still have to work at it, but we can also have times when we feel like we're soaring. We're flying. He's got us. No matter what temptation comes, we can crush it. No matter what happens, he has us. Because we're not letting go. We're not letting go. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you so that you could live with him forever. His desire is to fill you so that you can endure any temptation, so that you can find a way out. Find a way out. You have 5 seconds to disarm that thought before it moves to the next level. 5 seconds to resist, to stand your ground. You can shout your scripture. You can rap your scripture. You can set it to a beat. Let's do that right now. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, we give you everything that we have. Everything that we have, God. We stand here surrendered to you. I pray if that's you, that you would hold your hands in such a way that he knows you're serious. Yes. Yes, we are serious, God. We are ready to receive today the fullness of your Spirit. Because your son died on a cross. So that we could be filled with the power that will crush temptation. Thank you, Lord, for each brother and sister here. May we walk in the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.